where all is peace and joy and love, and the soul of man never dies. Just think about that for a little bit and how wonderful indeed just the very thought of that is that we will live in such a place where it will just be all peace and all joy and all love. And we certainly experience times like that here in this life, but there, that's all we'll experience. That's kind of beyond our comprehension, isn't it? Just like when he tells us that the streets are paved with gold and the gates are of one solid pearl, and he talks about the beauties of heaven, well, so also does that song talk about the beauties of heaven and what it'll be like. Certainly you're here tonight because you desire to go there and be there. We all do. I'd like to direct your attention tonight to Romans chapter 11. We're going to start with verse 33 and read through chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is a passage that we read quite often, that you hear read quite often. I think it's important for us to recognize what comes before those two verses. It says, "Oh, the depths and the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out." In other words, you're not going to investigate the mind of God and figure out how he thinks, figure out his understanding. The only way that we know the mind of God is as he's revealed it to us, as Paul talks about in Corinthians. "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor?" That's a quote from Isaiah 40 in verse 13 and Jeremiah 23 in verse 19. Both Isaiah and Jeremiah reflect upon that. Can you counsel God? Can you know the mind of the Lord apart from his revelation of his mind? Or, verse 35, quotes from Job. Who has first given to him, and it shall not be repaid him. It's not the way it works with God, is it? God's the first to give, and we cannot even repay him for what he has done. But if you were to think about what God has done for you, and you would think about what could I do to repay God, certainly I'm indebted to God that he sent his son to pay the price for my sin so that I might spend eternity and with him in a place where there's only joy and peace and love. What could I do to repay God? Well, that's not up to us to decide, is it? His ways and what he would require of us far surpasses what we might think would be required of us. "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. So be it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable," or some translations say, "your spiritual service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Can you know the mind of God? Can you figure out God? Nope. No, we can only know God as he's revealed himself to us. And we will not even know God as he's revealed himself to us until we are transformed. And I suppose if I was to title this lesson, that's what I would title it: Transformed. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed in the renewing of our mind. So I'd like to spend a few minutes with you tonight considering this verse and looking at it in some of its details. First and foremost, I want to direct your attention to verse 36, where it says, "For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory forever. Amen." Of him, through him, and to him are all things. He created all things. All things are available through him. And all things are to come back to him. You get that? They are of God. We receive them through God. But they are to come back to God. All things, to whom be glory forever. All things that God has entrusted in us, God expects us to return to him, to his glory. They're not for us. We're not the end of the thing. That the forgiveness of our sins and the fact that we're redeemed and reconciled to God, that's not the end of the story. That's just the beginning of the story. It's of no good if we obey the gospel and we make a decision to follow him, and then we later start living for ourselves again, like we've been noticing the children of Israel in Ezekiel, how that they thought that they could be the children of God and also serve idols and still be the children of God. Doesn't work that way. They had to continue in all things that were of him and through him and return them to him, to his glory, just like we have to recognize that all things are indeed of God and through God and are to come back to God so that he will be glorified. So I beseech you, therefore, brethren. See, there's a therefore here. Therefore, if you want to know the depths and the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, if you want to know how to repay God, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now that might not be, you know, when you sit and think about this a little bit, and if you were writing this, if you didn't know this, we're so familiar with this, but if we were to present the problem to you, all things are of God and through God and to God, to his glory. And you were to say, well, where would you begin in presenting things to God, to his glory? I would venture to say that at least 90% of us wouldn't begin with our body. We would think that, well, I need to change my mind. And he's going to talk about that. But that's the last thing he talks about. And to me, that's interesting. Because to change our mind, to change our body, we have to change our mind. But I want you to think about something. What's harder to change? Is it harder to change your mind or is it harder to change your body? And I recognize that as I pose that question, neither one's easy to change. It's not easy to get in shape. It's not easy to stay in shape. It requires a commitment. It requires self-control. It requires a changing of your mind, if you will. But if we really get honest with ourselves, we would probably say, I would say, it's easier to change my body than it is to change my mind. And when I say that, what I'm saying is that I'm to recognize that I'm to glorify God in my body. That's what he's talking about here. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And so you see what, and you know, let's get honest with ourselves here tonight. You know that you can have your body in the right place and your mind be in the wrong place. Am I right? Yes? No? Right? I know you're sitting in a worship service tonight, but I don't know where your mind is. I don't know where you desire to be. And so you recognize, and I recognize, that a lot of times the real final transformation of our mind begins by putting our body where it's supposed to be and doing with our body what we're supposed to do with. We're faced with the temptation, and our body desires to fulfill the temptation, but our spirit says no, and so we practice self-control and we make our body do what it's supposed to do, but the whole time we might be saying, well, you know, I used to do that, and we think about those things. So it does begin with the body, doesn't it? It begins by doing what we know is right. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Yeah, you're sacrificing the carnal desires to live to the glory of God. To God be the glory forever, you see. Why would you do that? Why would you change your lifestyle? Because now my lifestyle is to the glory of God. This is acceptable to God. This is also your reasonable service or spiritual service. I like the translation reasonable. That's reasonable to me. What can I do to show God my appreciation for what he's done for me, for the sacrifice he's made for me? Present your body a living sacrifice. Give up your carnal desires and gratifying the carnal desires. Give that up. That's only reasonable, isn't it? Now, that requires a spiritual commitment, but it is reasonable. Do not be conformed to this world. So do not be formed to the mold of this world. And you know, and I know, that 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17 talks about the mold of this world, the carnal desires. Look at it again with me, if you will. 1 John 2 verses 15 through 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, he's not talking about the earth here and appreciating the beauty of the earth and appreciating the blessings of God that we experience on earth. He explains the world here, what he means by the world. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Consider this familiar passage with me here. Do not love the world or the things that are in the world. What are the things that are in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You see, these things are the determination of the world. This is what the carnal side of us wants to do. This is what the worldly side of us wants to gratify. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. When you break it right down to its bottom line, we're talking about our character. Is our character a godly character, or is it a carnal character? If we live to gratify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all about me, We have a whole generation now that's all about me, the individual. Call attention to me. It celebrates me. It celebrates the pride of life. These things are not of the Father. These things are of the world. God didn't create these things. God doesn't want us to serve these things. These are of the carnal nature. These things are of the world. And the world is passing away. If we are gratifying the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, same thing's going to happen to us that's happening to the world. It's going to pass away. We're going to pass away. It's going to be destroyed. We're going to be destroyed. So do not be conformed to the world, but rather be transformed. Do the will of God and abide forever. Don't be destroyed, but abide forever. See the contrast? So we come back to our text of Romans, and we're in chapter 12, and we've looked here at verse 2. Now, notice also here that as we are coming to God to glorify Him, to live to His glory, we see that we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our focus now comes to our mind. Don't be conformed to the world. Don't be like the world. That's our big problem, isn't it? We want to follow Christ, but we don't want to look different than the world. We don't want to look strange. We don't want to look unique. And yet God calls us to look unique. The world is fulfilling the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. That's walking in darkness. We follow Christ. What are we walking in? We're walking in the light. Again, you go back to 1 John. And we're called upon to walk in the light as He is in the light. How much light is He in? He's in all the light. Is there any darkness in Him? No. How much darkness are we to participate in? None. Got to think about that, don't you? A lot of Christians, a lot of people who claim to follow Christ, don't think that way. They see what God has called them to, and they say, well, that's just not the way I am. And rather than acknowledging in their mind that they got to change the way they are, they think that, well, nobody's perfect. We're only human. But remember, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, those things are not of the Father. You will not find any of those things in heaven. You will not find any of those things in the character of God, nor should they be in the character of one who follows God and walks with Christ. We've got to get that in our mind. We cannot accept worldliness. We cannot accept the darkness in our life. We need to understand that we are to live to the glory of God forever. That we ourselves are of God. That we live physically and spiritually through Him, and we are to live to Him. And as He is holy, He has called us to be holy. And as He is pure, He has called us to be pure. We've got to get that in our mind and not accept impurity and darkness in our lives in any fashion, whether we're talking morally or doctrinally or in whatever area of life we're talking about. Our mind needs to conform to the mind of God. Be transformed into the mind of God. By the renewing of our mind. How do we do that? How do you renew your mind? Well, we get out what we put in. And we need to let God get in through the Word, through the seed. Let it be planted. Let it germinate. Meditate on it. Think about it. Be committed. And this is such a key. Be committed to live to His glory. You see, when we stop living for ourselves and we start making that commitment to be a living sacrifice to His glory, our mind's going to change. This is not about me anymore. This is about Christ living in me so that others might see Christ and come to Him and have the salvation that's in Him and the hope of eternal life that is in Him. That's what each of our lives is all about. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How did we come to know that will of God? It wasn't on our own. He revealed it to us. We're not His counselor. We don't know His mind except as He's revealed it to us. And we've come to appreciate the depth and the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And even though we can't search them out, He's revealed them to us. His judgments and His ways are freely known to us. Talk about transparency. There's a transparency with God. He wants us to know. There's not a mystery about God. Whatever mystery there was, that mystery has been revealed. The mysteries of the Old Testament, when it talked about the mystery, well, now it's the mystery revealed. Because God wants that mystery revealed. He wants us to know. And He wants us to live to His praise and to His glory. So the question is, are you? Are you living to His praise? Are you proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? See, we are to be a living demonstration of that which is good and acceptable and perfect, complete will of God. A living demonstration. Do you think about that? As you leave here tonight, and you leave with your spouse, or you leave to go home, and you leave to get up tomorrow and go to work or to school or wherever it might be, are you thinking about the fact that as you go through your life as a husband, as a wife, that you are to go through that proving the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? You're a living demonstration of it. I've had people tell me, you know, I've never thought about it that way. You know what? We need to start thinking about it that way. Because until we start thinking about it that way, we're not going to be doing what He's calling us to do. We're going to fall short of living to the praise of His glory. But appreciate the fact that you are of Him and through Him and to Him in all things, that you may prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God to His praise and to His glory. So what have we looked at? We've looked at the fact of the depth and the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. You know, and as Isaiah and Jeremiah and Job here, as they say, you know, we can't even know those things. And yet, here in verse 33 of chapter 11, he says, we do know them. We do know them. We know the depth of the wisdom and knowledge of God. We know that we don't know them by searching them out, but by His revelation. We know that we are of Him and through Him and to Him in all things. And that to Him all glory belongs. Therefore, in consideration of that, therefore, how am I to live? Therefore, I am to present my body a living sacrifice. I can put my body where it's supposed to be, and I can do with my body what it's supposed to do. I am not conformed to this world. I'm not going to act like the world acts, that the things that the world deems important, that's not important to me. What's important to me is living to His glory forever. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Will you do that? Are you doing that? Have we lived in appreciation of these things to the extent that we're thinking about them all the time? That we're recognizing our shortcomings, but we're also recognizing what He has called us to. And we are determined to fulfill that for which we are called. You're here tonight and you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, and you're ready to start living for Him. You're ready to start living a life of peace and joy and comfort here, so that you can live in expectation and realization of only those things in heaven. Won't you let it be known? And if you're here tonight and you're a child of God, and maybe you haven't had your mind right, maybe the transformation hasn't been completed in you. Maybe you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ on your behalf. James tells us to confess our faults one to another, pray for one another, that you might be healed. Or we might say that you might be made healthy, that you might be made whole. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation tonight, we'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.
Oh, do not let